I'm going to start with Philippians 3 and 14. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Dear Lord, just guide my words in Jesus' name. And dear Lord, just let everybody get something out of this. In Jesus' name, amen. I never know how to start these things. I always think of like three or four different ways to start it. So I'll just start it this way. Growing up, my grandma and my dad taught me about winning. They say when you play a game, you play the game to win. You don't play to lose. I mean, what's the point of playing if you don't play to win? So I like basketball. So me and one of my friends, my friend Tim, as we grew up together, we learned to play basketball together and work together and do well. Last time we played together, it didn't end out so well for us. But we still had fun. Still wanted to win, but still had fun. But we wouldn't have gotten that far if we didn't work as a team. In order to get somewhere, especially in something like sports, you have to work, well, at least if it's a team sport, you have to work as a team. Tim and his father coach a rec basketball league team, and I help them out. And one thing we try to instill in the guys is that you're not the only person on the court. There's other people around you, your teammates, that can help you score. Because in the end, you want to win. You don't want to lose. You want to win. But in order to win, you have to use what's around you. You have to use what's given to you. And what's given to you in that case is your teammates. So the title I'm going to give it, give today's sermon, whatever you want to call it, is Teamwork. You are never alone. Going to start off in Numbers 11 and starting with verse 14. I can't carry all these people by myself. The load is far too heavy. If this is how you intend to treat me, go ahead and kill me. Do me a favor and spare me this misery. That's Moses talking after Moses went through a lot with the with the Israelites. He went through a lot. He had so much burden down on him, and I guess he just got to the point where he was like, enough is enough. I cannot do this by myself. Me personally, I wouldn't have went to the extreme that he did. I wouldn't have said, go ahead and kill me. But that's how he felt. So, I mean, when you're talking to God, you can tell him how you feel. There's nothing wrong with that. Be respectful, of course. But there's nothing wrong with telling him how you feel. So this is how God responded in 16 and 17. Then the Lord said to Moses, gather before me 70 men who are recognized as elders and leaders of Israel. Bring them to the tabernacle to stand there with you. I will come down and talk to you there. I will take some of the spirit that is upon you and put it, and I will put the spirit upon them also. They will bear the burden of the people along with you, so you will not have to carry it alone. One of the things I realized that you have to know that when dealing with teamwork is that you have to have the realization that you need somebody else. Sometimes you can't do it by yourself. You can't do anything by yourself. I mean, let's just look at it this way, and I guess I'll be using a couple of different analogies, but let's look at it this way. Just look at how your body works. Your body doesn't move forward unless your brain tells your feet to move you forward. Right. You can't move unless your brain essentially tells you to move. You can't move your hands unless your brain tells you to move your hands. You know, the blood doesn't pump through your body unless your heart pumps through the blood. So even your body can't function, you know, as one part of your body can't function, you know, by itself. It needs the rest of your body to function properly. continuing on to Exodus 17:8-9, essentially what happens there is the people of Israel were attacked by the warriors of Amalek. And so Moses, once again, goes to Joshua, and right now we're on verse 9. Moses goes to Joshua and says, get some people and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand. Continuing on to 10 and 11. So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the armies of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed up to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held his staff in his hands, the Israelites had the advantage. Whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. 12 and 13. Moses' arms soon became so tired that he could no longer hold them up. Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. They stood on each side of Moses, holding his hands up. So his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua won the battle. If that's not one of the ultimate ways you can see teamwork in the Bible, I don't know what is. When Moses' hands fell, they lost. Knowing that they were gonna lose, they were like, hey, let's help this man out. Let's go give him somewhere to sit. Let's raise his hands for him, because that's the only way we are going to win. And guess what? When it comes to war, you don't want to lose. You see, we've all seen what happens when there's a war and what happens to the losing side. The losing side never gets anything good, ever. Continuing on to Joshua chapter 6. Verses 1 through 27, and I'm just summarize this. The Lord came to Joshua and told him that the city of Jericho belonged to them, and he gave Joshua instructions. So Joshua did what the Lord told him to do. Joshua gathered the priests and told them to choose 7 to sound the ram's horn as they marched around Jericho with the Ark of the Covenant. Then he told his army to march with them, but he told them not to make a sound. So the first 6 days, they marched around the city of Jericho once. On the seventh day, they marched around 7 times. On the seventh time around, the priest let out one long blast from the horns, and the people and Joshua told the people to shout, and they shouted as loud as they could. The walls of Jericho came crashing down. Another thing that I've come to learn about teamwork is that when the higher up gives you instructions, you gotta follow it. You gotta be obedient. If you're not obedient, you're just setting yourself up for failure. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, it says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no division in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. And in Proverbs 27:17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Essentially saying, one, we need to all be on the same page. If we're not on the same page, once again, we're setting ourselves up for failure. And then to survive, I need each and every one of you. For you to survive, y'all need me. For the pastors to survive, they need each other. If we don't have each other, how do we expect to get through life? I mean, it's just not going to work. speaking of our pastors, I end up reading Ecclesiastes 4, 9, 8 through 12. And 12 says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two standing back to back can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. You know, there is our triple braided cord. As long as they stay on one accord according to God's will, I think we're going to be okay. I mean, yes, we have to worry about ourselves, but we have our leadership. They are who we go to. They are who steps in for us even when we don't know we're doing wrong, you know. So as long as we have their leadership and they're on one accord with what God says, we're pretty good to go. I'm going to go ahead and read one more thing, and that is from 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 30. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, just not one part. If the foot says, "I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand," does that make it any less part of the body? If the ear says, "I am not a part of the body because I'm not an eye," would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, "I don't need you." The head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." Skipping down to verse 27. All of you together are Christ's body. Each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts that God has appointed for the church. Some are disciples. First are disciples. Second are prophets. Third are teachers. Then those who do miracles. Those who have the gift of healing. Those who can help each other. Those who can help others. Those who have the gift of leadership. Those who speak in unknown languages. Are we all disciples? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. All that being said is, we all need each other because we all don't do the same thing. I'm not gonna do the things that my grandma does. Me and her are two completely different people. I love her for it, guaranteed. And it's the same thing with my father. Yes, some people like to say we're similar. I still say we're different. And you know, I'm different from Shishi. I'm different from Demetrius. I'm different from everybody in here. We all do something different. We all have our own thing that God has given us to do. I mean, yeah, they might be all along on the same lines, but still, that's where God has placed us. So, I like football too, and was my analogy using football. God is like our head coach. He knows everything that's going on. He knows all the plays. He knows what the offense and defense and special teams are all supposed to do. Our pastors are like our offensive, defensive, and special teams coordinators. They get their instructions from the head coach, who then give instructions to the rest of the players. And, you know, of course, in between everything else, there's us, the players, the rest of the team. We get our instructions from either the coordinators or our head coach, you know. And then as a team, we got to encourage each other. We got to help each other better ourselves, or else we're just going to sit there and fail. When one of us falls, there should be at least one of us that's there to help, you know, pick us up off the ground. I'll go ahead and read this. In conclusion, we are here to lean on each other. God gave us each other so we could get through the good and bad times of our lives. But at the end of the day, we have to realize that the best teammate that we could ever have is God himself. I mean, he gave us the Holy Spirit. He's the reason we wake up and function properly. If we didn't have him, we'd probably be dead. Let's just not take God or each other for granted, because we're a team with the same goals. We're never going to be alone. We'll always have, you know, each other. So just remember, we're a team and got to work together.